Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games.
Welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I almost didn't unmute myself.
I thought I went deaf.
I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, no. This sound has gone from my computer.
I was like, that's right. Oh, the mute button. All right. Welcome back. This is it's the 1st of December. We're pushing this episode. We put it back a week from last week. We were trying to knock out an extra episode. That never happened. But we are here. We are with our patrons to do the end of November patron chat on the 1st of December, and we have a really cool topic. I am super excited about talking about this today with our patrons, and we have some of our patrons joining us. And of course, I'm Tom. This is Sam. Sam, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Yeah, we missed last week. Happy belated Thanksgiving to everyone. I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about. You want to introduce the topic, or we introduce the patrons first?
Well, here, let's talk about the topic real quick. We had multiple topics. Of course, everybody votes, and then this is usually the way this show works, and we came up with this one. What gaming feature from another video game would you want to see in the next Mass Effect? And that got my brain going, and I know our patrons are going to have their opinions, and I'm excited to hear what everyone says. And joining us, I'm just going to read out everybody's names, and then I made a joke about making a sound effect when I hit the live button. You are all going to make the sound of what it sounds like when you push the live button. We've got Genesis joining us again, Scott, Magister, and Turbo Toboggan. Welcome back to the show, everybody. On the count of three, unmute yourself and tell me what your start stream button would sound like. 3, 2, 1...
Where's the coffee?
It just talks to you when you need the button. Nice. Welcome back, everyone. Who would like to start us off talking about what feature from another video game you would put into the next Mass Effect game? Jen?
I have an answer to that. And when you said when you hit that go live button, my brain said that go awake button. So like, what's the first thing you say when you wake up? When you go alive for the day.
When you go alive for the day. The first thing? Yeah, because death is like a little sleep.
Exactly.
It totally makes sense. I totally got the idea of like pushing a live button. Where's the coffee? I kind of got the correlation there. But you're talking about your own go live button. But what feature would you add?
Oh, okay. So I, in the real world, don't get lost that often. I'm pretty spatially aware. I know how to travel down a road. Logic. It makes sense. I get lost in video games a lot.
Uh-huh.
The roads don't make sense. The maps don't make sense. The fact that it rotates consistently and then I have to pay attention to the little compass thing over there to figure out which way I'm going. I don't like that. What I would like for the next Mass Effect game is a mini map that is always on the screen, and that when I click into the map, I can zoom in and zoom back out. Show me the big full picture of everything that is on this level. Even if I haven't uncovered that part of the area yet, that's fine. Fog of War it. That's cool. Mm-hmm. It means that if there's black on the screen, I still need to go that way.
Yeah. And so then, would North be pinged at the top all the time?
Yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't pivot while you turn. Like some games pivot while you turn, right?
Yeah.
So I have to jump in here because Mass Effect 1 did have an underutilized map feature that a lot of people just didn't seem to know about. But it didn't have the undiscovered versus discovered portion.
So I was okay with that one, except for the fact that I couldn't zoom in and zoom out to where I could see either just the area that I was in. So that way I could orient myself like, okay, there's a box standing in front of me, or there's a door, or there's a storefront. Give me, I needed both the visual cue of what was on the map and correlating it to what I was seeing in the game in order for me to make sense of which way I needed to go.
I mean, that's fair. It was a terrible map. it was awful. So, yeah, improved maps. I'm down.
So something kind of like World of Warcraft does this, right? Like you can hit the big map. You can open the big map, but your little compass up on the top right side of the screen, your little mini map is zoomable. You can zoom right in and you can see like, am I standing at the thing I'm supposed to be clicking at? You know, like what? Where am I in relation? Am I inside the right building? Which one am I in? Or you can zoom out fairly far and see like, okay, this is kind of the rough area around where I'm at. But games like that don't have as much, I guess, three-dimensional space, like going up and down terraces or in a complex building or, you know, cave system sometimes, but even those aren't usually as complex. So I would imagine that they would need a feature to kind of help us understand where we are in three-dimensional space.
That is very valid.
Not that that's impossible. I mean, games do this. They do that kind of thing. But I would, you know, I would imagine that that would be useful, or at least like the minimap would know what level you're at and they'd have some sort of, you know, dividing system for that. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it. What about the rest of you guys? What do you guys think? Improved minimaps, Turbo?
I would love that, because I am too like June. I have no sense of direction in video games. I have gotten lost so many times in Starfield lately, inside of the bigger ships, trying to find my way out. And even if you go on that thing and it gives you that little route, sometimes when you're in ships, I've had that thing not appear, that little line, that arrows. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I was like, how do I get out? I can't.
You know, what's another, that reminds me of something. You know, what's another fun little feature that some mini maps have is a little trail that shows where you came from. And over time, it dissolves, like it disappears slowly. So you can tell how long ago you were in what spot. And it only lingers for like a minute or so. But that helps, too, with orientating yourself, especially in like a really maze like environment. Like, oh, I just came from this section of the maze, but I haven't been over here. Or I haven't been back over here, even though I've seen it. And so now it's revealed on the minimap because it's not in the Fog of War area anymore. But you've gone back through and now you're confused because you're going backwards again.
As long as we're talking about exploration tracking, can we please just make sure the next Mass Effect has an accurate galaxy map tracker? Oh, my God. Please. This is all I ask.
Have I been to this system before? Have I explored that planet before? Please just put like a little check mark. Yeah. Also, that spell from Elder Scrolls would really help. The one where it's like it'll light your path which way you need to walk.
Clairvoyance.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Scott? Magister? Magister?
Yeah. I definitely would like to have some form of Fog of War going on there, like playing Baldur's Gate. It has been, especially the first map, like that saved me, because that map is so huge, and God only knows what the different maps of the new locations are going to look like. If I don't know where I haven't gone, I'll probably miss out on so much of the things that they, I mean, I already know I'm missing out on so much with Starfield. So,
yeah.
And Baldur, so it would definitely help to have that, that bit of, you have not gone here yet.
Right. I mean, it seems like such a simple thing, but it's extremely beneficial to the player. It gives you a lot of information in a very simple way. Helps you make decisions, things like that. So totally makes sense. I think that this is a great recommendation. Scott, do you have something you want to add?
Yeah, like I'm replaying Andromeda because I got kids, so I only get so many games that I have a budget for. But also, like, give me some terrain, because like in Andromeda, if you remember, they give you like an icon for like which way your objective is, but they don't tell you that you can't actually go straight at it because there's a mountain range in the way. And so you're just driving along, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, shit, like I got to go around this thing now, and I've got to go all, you know? And so
yeah,
like, tell me like, hey, you can't straight at it because you can't actually physically do that in the game, but it doesn't tell you that until you run into it or you actually open the map up and stuff like that. So tell me there's an obstacle.
Right. Or like it's above you, it's below you, like that information too. Always helpful. All right. Any other thoughts? Sam, you have any other thoughts on this one?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, like, I think that there's like a difference though, like with exploration tracking. So I think like a galaxy map tracker would work. Letting you know what you've done would worked. Improved map would work, but like I don't think the next Mass Effect should tell you who and who you have not in like a hub and a crowd, who you've talked to and who you haven't. Like, let that be the player exploration part, you know what I mean? Because I feel special when I do make a point to talk to every little NPC that I can, and then, oh, I found a side quest, you know what I mean? So if it told me basically, hey, go talk to that NPC,
right,
takes a little bit away from it.
Right. Like everyone has a dot over their head and the dot loses its color after you talk to somebody or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. All right. Well, I think this is a good start. Like, this is a good recommendation. It seems like one of those things a lot of games should have and some just don't. Who would like to go next? Who's ready? Scott?
Yeah, I'll go. You know, a lot of games, they have like a system where over time, as you build up, you know, experience or like things throughout your playing, you can like get perks for it. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of how it was with the gun in Mass Effect that I know Sam talked about in one of the episodes where you just like the fuck it, you know, and you just blow it.
Yeah,
the
fuck you gun. Oh yeah.
You know, so like, but I think there's so much cool tech in Mass Effect, whether it's the ship you're traveling on or your compatriots, where I feel like it'd be cool if throughout a mission you could accrue a certain amount of points and then be able to call it in for backup. Like, I need an airstrike from my ship, or I want to bring in another squad mate to clear, you know, this path out for me of like this extra enemy, like flank them, or, you know, and you have to accrue that. You can't just do it all the time. So you have to kind of strategically use it. But I think that could be a cool feature because we have so many cool squad mates. And other than the Citadel DLC, we never really get to bring more than two on a mission. So I feel like there's all these cool techs you could use that exist out there. Like, we got fighter aircraft we know about and all this stuff. I'm like, let's give us more ability to utilize those resources in the gameplay.
This reminds me of like Modern Warfare. You know, when you're like on a streak, so now you can call in an airstrike or whatever. Like, but no, but like, that sounds like
a
joke.
Wild feature.
That sounds like a joke. But can you imagine like, okay, let's say we have a game where the environments where you fight the enemies aren't as corridor focused as the previous games. You have sometimes environments where it's just kind of a more open area, and maybe you're out on the surface of a planet. Maybe you're fighting a bunch of, I don't know, whatever, out, and an airstrike would make sense because you're out on the surface of the planet. You can call up Joker, whoever, and be like, hey man, we need some air support. They just like blow up half the things on the field or whatever. Like, I could totally see that. Or maybe you picked out gear that isn't optimal for the situation you found yourself in. So you just need them to drop off like a crate with some other weapons and ammo or whatever, you know, or maybe there's a moment where, you know, a bunch of things are coming running at you and they can drop off a like a big turret gun that just implants in the ground for one place and you can mow down a bunch of guys and, you know, do that video game kind of thing. I could totally see all sorts of different ways you could play this. Or like Jen posted in chat, Krogan airdrop. You just drop Krogan out of the air at everybody.
would it like, Scott, are you thinking like, what if each squad mate had an ult that they could use that incorporated some kind of tech out in the galaxy that they just couldn't use otherwise?
I mean, maybe. I think that could be cool because if they have a skill, like, I don't know, Garrus gets a better sniper rifle, that would be a good one. But yeah, like, it could be an alt, like something that they have from like their other skills, or, you know, just even something that you as the player, like if you're an Alliance Marine, like we know the Alliance has all these other like ships and fighters and stuff too. Like, hey, call Hackett up, you know, he's always floating around. Like, he's got to do more than just chat with you on a VidCon. He's got to have somebody else he can call to do something. So
yeah, we're doing all these things for him. What the hell?
or like you said, the other companions who are just still on the ship, like it's you and two other people, but you've got like a whole team of people up on the ship that are just kind of like twiddling their thumbs while you go out on this adventure, right? So what if you needed biotic support and you had somebody come down in some transport vehicle and they open up the side door and all of a sudden they're like tossing enemies out of your way for you, you know, or whatever. And they're like, you got it? Cool. I'm going to go back and play chess with everybody or whatever, whatever you were doing on the ship before you showed up. Or what if you had like somebody who can hack a machine or something? Like you're fighting people who are in some sort of vehicle and they show up and they like short circuit the machine and it crashes and you get better shots at it or whatever. But yeah, but there's like a resource that you accrue from fighting through and then you call in this like support. That totally makes sense. I feel like that sounds really cool.
Yeah, and I feel like it would be like if they bring back the tier system of like casual, normal, hardcore, and like insanity, like this would really probably come in handy on insanity.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, all right, I'm stuck. Like I've done this 4 times in a row. Like I got to get through this level. Like I can perk my way through it, you know, instead of just like having to just get killed 18 million times so that you can figure out how to get rid of whatever is bothering you.
Yeah, you're like fighting a thresher maw and you're like, I need somebody to like come get its attention so I can get some shots in without getting clobbered or whatever. Yeah, totally. What about the rest of you guys? What do you guys think about this? Am I crazy? Because I'm totally with Scott on this.
I'm definitely with Scott. I actually think it'd be cool if there was like a combination of Mass Effect 3 with the readiness system and like a little bit of Fallout 4. Like imagine if you were to like go to a Krogan world and help them out, and now like the Minutemen were, or the men or the Brotherhood of Steel, you could call in the chopper and they can come in and like do some devastation, like get a Krogan squad coming through. Like maybe like the more you help out around, the more readiness that you have available to like just pull on for a future mission or something like that.
Yeah, and we'd have to have a Krogan equivalent of Preston Garvey.
Mm-hmm.
Which, with a cool hat, the hat and everything.
Batman Garrus come up out of nowhere. Like, it'd be any number of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Jen, do you want to expand on your Krogan airdrop idea? Did you have any other thoughts on that?
Oh, no, I just loved the idea of being able to call up to the ship and then all of a sudden, like, have a squad of Krogan come out. Krogan airdrop. Rex talks about it in the Shadow Broker DLC. And then, when they land on Sirkesh. Yep, that's where it was.
I mean, it would be badass to have just, like, you know, this vehicle could just kind of come down and just, and then the door opens, yeah. And then just like, I don't know, for some reason you've got like 3 or 4 Krogan on your ship with you or something that are just ready to get called in, and they just go blah, and they just, one of them starts blasting, one guy runs and starts pushing into like the enemies, and it's just like this, you know, melee mess. That would be amazing.
I need to see it. I don't even if it's not in the game, I need somebody out there to make a video of like every Krogan airdrop that's currently in the game, just all mashed up right together.
Or they all like parachute down, or I don't know, use some sort of jetpacks or something, right? They just
They don't need to. They just jump.
They just jump and land. They just like they just roll. They hit the ground and they just roll and then they pop back up.
Aw, cute little roly-poly like Krogans.
Really, really dangerous roly-poly Krogans. That would be great. All right. Turbo, do you have any thoughts on this one? You good? No thoughts. No thoughts from Turbo. Sam, any last thoughts?
No, I was just thinking, and it's kind of tangential. The fact that we had strike teams to command in Andromeda may have been a cool tie-in if we could, like, loop them in to help us sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's close. We're close to that idea. I feel like it's not beyond reason. And you could set it up to be only usable in certain situations, right? Like you're crawling through the caves of this planet. Yeah. You're not getting an airdrop, but you come out on the surface for like the big boss battle. And all of a sudden you can pull in something really cool to help you out. Totally makes sense. All right. Well, those are our first two suggestions. We've got two more patrons. And before we do that, we're going to go thank the rest of our patrons, including these patrons. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. I'm going to try and make this as quick as we can. We have to thank our newest patron, Ace Out of Time. Welcome to the Patreon. And we have to shout out our Shepherd tier patrons, Kokushins, Edboy, Kirisi, and Lieutenant Ticino. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you to all 62 of our current patrons and everything that you guys have done in order to keep this show going. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you very much. If you would like to go check out all the stuff you can get, patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast is the place to go. You can check out the t-shirt designs. You can look at the different tiers, see all the different things you get for helping to support us. Also, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out just like these two reviews that came in over the last few weeks. This one is from Sweet Crystal ZZZ 2099991. I think I said the right amount of nines. This is cool. 5 stars. This podcast is so epic. I love it. I recently started listening to podcasts again. And on a hunch, I was like, hey, let's look for my favorite game. And this was the first thing that came up. And I started listening. And then this is all in all caps. And I loved it. These guys are so freaking hilarious and are so well educated in Mass Effect. Also, the impression voices get me every time. I just crack up. I can't get through an episode without a good laugh. Y'all are amazing hosts and have amazing insights that get me thinking. Thank you. I'm also a huge Mass Effect fan, so y'all gave me insights on my favorite characters. Well, thank you so much, Sweet Crystal. We really do appreciate that. And then this one comes from Justin. That was in the US. This is also from the US. Justin 20232023. Those are both the years 2023. That's double. who writes, it had to be you. Someone else might have gotten it wrong. Nice. Thank you for providing fans with an amazing platform to support our shared enthusiasm for one of the best sci-fi universes that have been imagined. Your efforts are greatly appreciated and do not go unnoticed. Just to share a question for you, what would be your favorite soundtrack for Mass Effect? I feel like Sam was just talking about this the other day on what used to be Twitter. Without question, the Galaxy Map song, Uncharted Worlds, deserves that recognition from me. I leave you with my favorite quote from Mass Effect. Stand in the ashes of a trillion dead souls and ask the ghosts if honor matters. The silence is your answer, Javik. Very nice. Thank you for taking the time to rate the show and pose the question. Sam, what's your favorite song?
I know you... Favorite song from all of Mass Effect?
Yeah.
Favorite Leaving song. Earth.
Leaving Earth.
Leaving Earth. That's by far. One. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't listen to the soundtracks. Like, I don't listen to game soundtracks at all. like when I'm doing other stuff. I know a lot of people are like, what? They're probably like, you really yeah, you don't do what? That? No, I mean, I enjoy the music. Skyrim's? Actually, so I enjoy the music from the games when I played it. But even then, I turned the music volume down because I want more of the environmental sounds and I want less of it feeling like it's trying to manipulate my emotions. Does that make sense? Everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, Tom, you're a psychopath. What are you doing?
It's kind of like, I don't know. I like turning it on and then doing other things like I like turning it on and driving because then I can like still focus on driving, but I can also just kind of daydream in the back of my head. If that makes sense.
I get it. Yeah. I understand why people enjoy it. It's just not something I do. So, yeah. So I wouldn't even know the names of the song. I can be like, well, the one that sounds kind of like this, I kind of liked when I played the game, but that's about it. It's not like I go back and listen. But anyway, thank you for taking the time to leave those reviews. Also, thank you for people sharing your Spotify Wrapped and like, hey, we're at the top of your list of podcasts and all of that. I love seeing all of that on the Discord and on social media. Thank you for sharing that stuff with us. And here's to another year of awesome stuff for maybe next year's Wrapped. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. We've got more stuff to talk about. Here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, we're back. Magister, Turbo? Turbo's ready. I see a hand up. Turbo?
First, Tom, I want to 100% agree with you. I do the exact same thing when I turn the music down.
Yes, I want to hear the environment. I want to hear the footsteps of my enemies before I see the whites of their eyes.
I'd rather have that be an indicator that there's being someone there instead of the music switching from regular music to combat music. It's like... Oh, great. I didn't know someone was sneaking up on me, but now I do. I thought I killed everyone because sometimes the games don't have the indicators like, oh, they're like little red dot pews on your mini-map.
Yeah.
Sometimes the first thing that happens is it goes, dun, dun, dun. I'm like, what?
Right.
Wait,
it's
what,
like
what?
Chill music. It's like, da, da, and then all of a sudden it goes, dun, 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 and then you're like, okay, I'm about to be fighting.
I guess there's someone here around the corner I didn't know about.
Yeah.
It's like, I would not mind dying to that. It's like, that person was sneaky. It's like, but if I die to them once I already know it's there, it's like, that makes me feel bad. Like I
right. It's the musical equivalent of like you enter another hallway and all of a sudden they give you all the ammo in the world. And you're like, there's a boss battle in there, isn't there? I know it's about to happen. So Turbo, what would you add to the next Mass Effect game from a different game series?
I kind of want either base management. Like, not necessarily build your own base, but like I want like your character to take more of a controlling role. So it's not like it'd be hardcore, like maybe like football manager or soccer manager.
Are you talking more like a Fallout settlement kind of thing? Or are you talking more of like an FTL ship kind of thing? Like,
yes, because this is going to be set after the Reaper Wars. I don't know if it's right after, but or later on, but. I would like to like saying like we gotta manage resources right now. We just and stuff. So I would like to say like, hey, like Assassin's Creed, how you had like the Black Flag. I think it was the one where you can control boats and have them go do stuff and stuff like that. Like have like that. It's a little side thing. Just helps you get little maybe more resources, more ezo to upgrade your stuff. But I would like that or the Fallout ones where you have supply lines in between stuff.
So are you
saying like a...
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
I think we have the same question. Yeah. So you're saying like a mini game as opposed to like actual gameplay in world?
I don't know what mini game. I didn't know what the Fallout one was. Like Fallout 4 where you can connect the bases and have like the supply lines.
Okay, so let's break this down. So there's a version of this where you have, let's say, a settlement on a planet and you just make the settlement. You can build the rooms, the walls, you can build crafting stations, you can build things to refine materials and get them out of the planet or whatever. You can use mining things, all of that. Then there's the equivalent where you have... Okay, well, let's build a network of these kinds of locations, or this connection connects back to the Citadel or wherever. And now you've got shipping lanes and things like that. And you've got ships that you can manage. You got a version of this where you do like in Starfield, where you can build a ship, but you can have multiple ships. And maybe the ships that you're not currently in, you can send off on these adventures to go get extra stuff or do things that come back and then give you more supplies. Like, how extensive is your version of this?
I don't want it to be like the first one where you have to actually build the base. Like maybe you say, I want to put a based on that, you pick what you pick, like you want it to be mining, production.
So settlement, more like mini games, people. Like you go into the map on the Normandy or whatever ship you're on and you go, okay, I'm going to put a base here. It's going to have a refinery. It's going to have a mining station and I'm going to put another base over here and I'm going to connect them, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And like, you can send like, and like you can like make, that won't work. No. Yeah. Like the, what you said, Tom.
Okay. So by putting all these bases around, you then accrue things. You get more either materials.
Like in Mass Effect 3, you build up points to say like, hey, you got a good economy going, like, no, it's just economy. You have good resources going. So whenever you go and face the big guy, you're more prepared.
Right.
To, like that. Or it just helps you get resources to, like maybe some of the upgrades for your stuff for you have rare things, but you don't get them a lot in the game unless you make a base and that base can go and mine. And maybe it only gets that rare one every once in a while, but since it's constantly mining and you're not doing it, you now can more freely use that.
Yeah. So, okay. So this gives me ideas because if we're post Reaper War, then the galaxy is repairing, right? So maybe you're doing this to reconnect disparate planets and try to build trade between them, try to help these different cultures who have been ravaged to kind of get back off, you know, back on their feet. But then what if you've also figured out the way to make your own mass relays? So you could, as you travel around the galaxy, you can build mass relays closer to certain planets in order to build shipping lanes between them. And then the cultures benefit and those cultures get stronger. So they help with your war effort, like that sort of thing. Am I crazy, Sam? Does this sound nuts?
No. I think you're accurate in what he's describing, but I also think that that would be a massive undertaking if we want the game to also be the kind of RPG that we want it to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess there's a simple version of this where you have a map and you have resources and you build things and you click them and then you just draw lines and connect them. And then over time, they give you more resources, or maybe it plays into when you talk to this group in the future, they're like, oh, you helped us out because you connected us with, you know, this trade network or whatever. But then there's a much more dynamic and advanced version of that, which would be like kind of its own game altogether, right? Turbo?
This game is almost like Miles Morales or it's kind of like a sequel to every game that comes out, but it's technically not like it'd be its like own little game that's like, hey,
what if it's a phone game? What if
like a phone game that you could use that would connect to Mass Effect and it would help?
Yeah. Remember like a decade ago when everyone was like, we're going to release a game and then we're going to have a phone game you could play with that game. But what if it was actually something that was useful and connected back to your main Mass Effect game? But you could just be connecting things. You could be like placing things, spending your supplies on building different things on different planets. Jen, you wanted to chime in?
I love the idea of a companion app, and Mass Effect has done that before. Mm-hmm. It was just like email messages and stuff like that. But I would love a full-on little game where I could do resource collecting and have it actually ship back to my real game.
Yeah, or even go check out planets you haven't been to yet to find out more about them before you decide to go to them in game. Like maybe we've lost contact with certain worlds, or maybe there's worlds that we never had contact with because they're too far away from these, you know, jumping locations. And so you send out little like probes that tell you, OK, this is what's on this planet. These are the resources. It's populated. These are the people who live there. And then you learn more about the galaxy while on the toilet, basically. That could be a thing. Magister, what do you think?
I think this is definitely something that could be even a main plot line of the story. Like imagine, like you're saying, the fact that they're after the Reapers, mass relays are down. You have a lot of little sheep scattered around the universe.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe the new shepherd can come and bring them into the fold and help them get their new supply lines and get them connected to each other. Shepherding them in into the new future.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Scott, do you have any thoughts on this? No, not really. Sam, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just, I hate to be the utter pragmatist. I'm just thinking about how much work that would be to reconcile if we want the next Mass Effect game to be similar to the ones we've already played.
Or releasing in our lifetime.
or releasing in our lifetime. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
There's or that. EA makes any money off it at all.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's versions of this, I think, that could be a little bit easier to implement and not as complex, but I guess it comes down to it. I mean, it's a cool idea. It's, you know, definitely games like this experiment with things like that, right? And it's not beyond the scope of possibility.
No, not at all. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that a Mass Effect surprised me. So,
yeah.
So that being said, I think we're even likelier to see something in there that might be along the same vein, but was even better than we anticipated. So I'll hope for that.
Sounds good. Well, thanks, Turbo. And I guess we're done with this topic. Nobody else has anything else on it. All right, let's move on. We've got one more person. And then Sam and I both have ideas, too. But Magister?
Yeah, so funnily enough, me and Turbo were definitely along the similar wavelengths, just a different side of the coin there, because I'm also going from something Assassin's Creed related, but more so Assassin's Creed 3, as well as a little bit of Dragon Age Inquisition a bit. I want Mass Effect to have a home base. I think the fact that we have that there is everything's like kind of scattered. Everything is kind of like no one's connected together. So I think it would be really cool if they had something similar to the homestead in Assassin's Creed 3, where they took place in a Revolutionary War, and they had the main character had a homestead that he would come back to, and you would see people slowly come to that area, build their own lives, or you would go to an area and there's like a couple of hunters and they're like, we need a place to set up our shack. And it's like, okay, well, I have some land, you can do this. And I think it'd be really cool if once we go out to certain locations, say for example we find an Asari builder, and they're like they're in a Liara situation where they're being surrounded by people. You rescue them and they're like, I have no idea what I'm going to do with my from now on. And he's like, well, I have an area that's in need of a builder. And then you bring them along and then they become a part of your, like, not necessarily the big branch of things, but they have their own little live-in moments in that area. And then you start recruiting, not necessarily recruiting, but coming across people who are in desperate need of a new location, and then they come along and join your home base and turn it from just a dilapidated place or a dilapidated planet or however big or small that you want it to go, and add its own dynamics. You can have the Krogan Battlemaster that's teaching the teenagers and kids how to defend themselves, or having a Volus merchant who's selling his wares at your location, or even having a Vorcha who's just randomly running around going crazy, and people are like, oh, there goes the crazy Vorcha having a good time again. At least we know that nothing bad is happening. Or
any of the bands that we've made up in this podcast.
All the bands, absolutely. even you come across a Justicar or something like that, and they ooh, want to be the new law in your area. Like, I feel like that'd be so cool to have like a grand scale Inquisition high rise. I can't remember what the name of the castle was, but have the community build of the homestead in Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, I like the idea of community. Do you see it as being more on the surface of a planet or its own space station that slowly grows and collects more, you know, becomes the new citadel or, you know, something like that?
I think more of a space station, because you can keep things smaller and more truncated with that. And then you can have those moments where people are interacting with each other, like I said, the examples I provided. You have the Vorcha and the Krogan having an arm wrestling contest, and the Vorcha loses an arm or whatever. Like, just having those little moments of the community that you're building becoming more.
Yeah, that's the dumbest Vorcha ever. Why would you get in an arm wrestling?
Why do they present? Carry flamethrowers when even though they're the ones going to be blown up?
Sam, you were shaking your head. You were like, no.
I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts, but some of them are tangential to my idea, so I'll save it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Jen, did you have thoughts on this too? I see you were making faces.
I love the idea of like a central home base, but I'm trying to picture it because obviously we don't know what the game is going to be like. So, I mean, if I have a ship, like that's kind of my home base. I think more along the lines of ship customization or a thing like that. But I do like the idea of gathering friends along the way and not everybody has to live with me on my ship.
Yeah, what if the ship,
so maybe like a ship central goes, home planet?
Yeah, what if you meet somebody on a planet and you're like, hey, refugees, you need a place, all right, get on my ship, and then you deliver them back to the space station, you introduce them to the rest of the people there, that unlocks cool new things you can do because of cool new connections or talents or whatever. Turbo?
Okay.
Yeah, Turbo has thoughts too.
It could always be like a mothership, like from Independence Day. Like, the ship over the White House is big, but then the mothership is way big. Like,
it's so way bigger.
Every time you go back,
the mothership comes behind. Like you go to every galaxy. The mothership stops there. But if you want to go to a planet, you take your Normandy.
Right. Yeah, there's your regular daily driver, and then you've got like
you just have a space station. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it could be a space station / gigantic ship that can change locations, right? It doesn't have to.
Could be a mobile mass relay. Remember when we talked about that?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That could be a thing. Man, I like the community idea though. I like the idea of not being limited to just the people on your ship and mostly your companions. This idea that like. You could bring in fact, maybe your companion list is really flexible. Maybe there are characters that have more storylines and they have more of these like individual things going on. But if you want to just bring Jimmy the shoemaker, you can if you want. Like, it's not going to open up like a loyalty quest or anything, but you can bring him with you. I don't know. Maybe that's too left field.
I mean,
you do a little quest for Jimmy and then you get special boots.
Right.
Yeah.
Magister.
That's what I loved about the homestead in Assassin's Creed 3. Like, there will just be little moments where it's just like, oh, this, you are having a competition of throwing horseshoes or stuff like that. It's just like.
Yeah. Or Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, you go back to the home base and everyone's having conversations or maybe it's nighttime and they decide, oh, we're having a little party, and somebody starts playing music and they're dancing around the fire or whatever. Right. It gives you that feeling of like, OK, these are real people. Like, this is what people do, and they're arguing with each other and whatever. Yeah.
And the fact that the universe is scattered is like, OK, let's bring everyone back together again.
Yeah.
And build a community for the future.
Yeah, I like this. I think this is a cool idea. Any other thoughts on it? All right. Looks like we're done. Sam, do you want to share your thoughts or should I share my thoughts? Who flip a coin? Yeah, you can go first.
I don't know. Okay. All right. So I was thinking that if we were going to pick a feature from a different game that Mass Effect should steal and then put in its next game, mm-hmm. I would love to see the next Mass Effect have a Bethesda-like loot/inventory system. Where there's a lot of items and the armor is interchangeable. It's not just, here's your one set of armor. You know, you can change out the parts of the armor. Different weapons that you can equip. Maybe it's free form enough so that if you wanted to have like a character who was dual wielding Asari swords, that'd be dope. Those kinds of things, different items. Doesn't have to be as intensive as Bethesda's clutter system is, doesn't need to have a clutter system at all. But I think that would be pretty cool, and it would kind of go back to the RPG roots of Mass Effect 1. Mass Effect 1's inventory system was an inventory system, but there was a lot of junk through there, and it wasn't as like intricate as I think it should have been, but it was also just a lot of copy paste.
Also, I mean, you bring this up in a game like Fallout, there's like very special weapons. There's a lot of variety. Even almost every weapon could be slightly modified different from any other weapon that you've picked up. So there's a lot of like, OK, what's this? Is it as good as what I have? I'm going to use it. You don't do that as much in Mass Effect. It's like, this is the gun I'm using until I find the better version of this gun, because I just like the way this works.
Andromeda was bitter about that, I'll say. However, I think the really big thing that hindered Andromeda's whole inventory upgrade craft system was the UI. That UI was not very good. It was just not user friendly, and it was like, okay, what do I have unlocked? What don't I have unlocked? What do I need to do that? And you know what? Never mind.
Yeah. So what did the rest of you think about this? An expanded inventory system, more different types of weapons and armor, and or more intricately differentiated. Maybe that's the best way to say that.
Sam just wants this because he's a loot goblin.
I knew you were going to say that. And yes, I am a loot goblin.
Cool. It's cool.
Until I die.
I love games where you get lots of loot. I think that's fun.
It is fun. But I agree that it would be more fun to be able, I like making money. I think that's the part that feeds into my loot goblinry, is because I need to loot the things in order to make the money to buy the things that I really want.
You just verbified loot goblinry. No, is that a adverb? I don't know language. I don't know words. You change it from one type of language to another.
I like doing that. I can wordify a lot of different words to word what I need them to word.
No, that was good. That was cool. I think we should use that in the future. We should hold on to that one. Sorry, I interrupted you. I thought it was
no. So hopefully we do have more money making ability in the next game through picking up a lot more loot.
Yeah, that could work. What about the rest of you?
And on that note, bring back vendors for us to buy actually worthwhile stuff from, you know, like not just here are the items that exist in the world. You know, so and you may have to buy this set of armor from this vendor.
Yeah. Scott, go ahead.
You know, I think that's a good point, because one of the things that I think we know about Mass Effect is that people play it more than once, right? And one of the things that brings us back is that you can play it again and again and again and again and have a different experience, and being able to play it different ways because you can use different weapons and you can use different armor and try it out and go, man, I didn't know this was so, you know, badass, or I didn't know tech armor was so cool, or, you know, whatever it is. And so having more flexibility to be able to say, okay, I'm going to use submachine guns this time, and I can loot this one from this guy over here. And it's like an unlockable, like when you get that crazy pistol in the Citadel DLC, you know, that you can't get anywhere else. And so I feel like that would be a whole really cool element to keep people playing over and over and over again. And, you know, if BioWare wants us to get into a game and to stay into Mass Effect so that we'll wait for whatever else comes out years down the line, I think that's a good system to have, because it makes me want to play it again. Because then I'll say, okay, how can I make it different, even though I'm still going through something I've played before?
Yeah, it works for me. Part of my enjoyment of games is the newness of things. And if I can play through a second time and a lot of it still feels new, like I'm coming across gear I've never seen before, I'm realizing that, like, if I engage with this conversation differently, it opens up a whole nother set of things. That's what gets me playing a second time. If I feel like I'm going to be spending all of that time to play through the same experience I already had before, it's not going to get a second playthrough from me, because I just don't have that attention span for doing the same thing over and over again. I'm totally on the same page with you when it comes to loot and gear and all that kind of thing. All right. Anyone else have any thoughts? Magister, any thoughts on gear?
Sure. I think it would just be cool if we had more unique gear, definitely. Especially stuff more like Oblivion-esque, where there was like certain, like that one ice-like sword, or a different more unique variety of weapons. Like, I think the most memorable weapon for me for was Mass Effect 1, where you find that hand cannon and like at the beginning of the game, and that gun stuck with me throughout the whole thing because I thought it was like, oh, it's cool, so cool, it's a cannon gun. So just having more like a variety of weapons, or having, like Sam was saying, an Asari sword, like that would be dope. I would straight up be biotic godding it all over the place with slashing people up. So
what if like every boss you beat, even on the side quests, dropped something unique? Whether it's a weapon or a piece of armor or something, right? And then that gives you even more reason to do all of the side quests and maybe do them in a certain order once you are familiar with the game and you go, okay, well, I'm going to do this side quest first because I can get this gear, and then I'm going to go over here. I mean, that's how people play games like Skyrim. They're like, oh, I'm going to go do this in order to get this stuff so I can use that in my playthrough because I want to do other things with it. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I also love that idea completely, but I also think at this point we'd be changing the entire loot economy system of Mass Effect to this point. I mean, not that it hasn't been done. Day They Laid here in chat brings up that there's a lot of what we've brought up that was in Andromeda. But yeah, like I said, Andromeda's was just not there for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a cool idea. All right, you ready for my idea? It's kind of tangentially weird, I guess. So my brain went through a few different possibilities. And then I was like, okay, what would be one that you would never expect, but is super cool? Remember the Shadow of Mordor game? The Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War? Remember the Nemesis system that never showed up in any game series ever after that? Except for maybe like one or two little minor games. Wouldn't that be nuts if you're playing through the game and not key story people, but let's say you're fighting through a bunch of, I don't know, maybe some Geth were reprogrammed or something on this planet. You got to take them out because they're a hazard and you're fighting through them. And there's a mini boss Geth in the path of this mission and you blow up its head, right? And you move on. And then 5 missions later, you're fighting Geth on another planet somewhere. It turns out that somebody put that Geth back together, gave him a brand new head, and now he's got a vendetta. Or maybe you're just traveling from one place to another, exploring planets, and you get this random encounter from some other ship, or maybe you're on the surface of a planet, and it's that Geth that you killed who's come back, and he's upgraded, and he's ready to take you down because he's got a vendetta after you. And it doesn't just have to be Geth. It could be like, you know, like this evil, you know, whoever.
Elcor.
Yeah, this Elcor is really pissed off. and now he's got like a robotic arm because he blew his arm off and he's like coming to, you know, I don't know, get you or whatever.
Can you
imagine?
Never should have come here.
But it could be anything, right?
When you were saying the Geth, it popped in my head, Shepherd Commander, this unit wants your soul.
Yeah, yeah. And it could be so different depending on the kind of race or the kind of creature or whatever that you was coming back to get you. And you could make it tie in to the way they talk, what their motivation is, the way that they patch themselves back together and stay alive could be very distinct for each of the, you know, the races. Obviously, a Geth, you might, you know, rebuild it. But if it's a biological creature, there's something else that's going to go on. Or they use metagel and now they've got like scars and wounds, kind of like when Shepard was, you know, looks all scarred up. Like, what do you think? Am I crazy about this one?
No, I think this one would be amazing. It would be pretty great because you could, like you mentioned, tie it in roleplay wise, and you'd have different nemeses every time, right?
Yeah.
Assuming you played differently, but I don't know.
Right, right. And I mean, you could expand it even further. What if some of the people that you, let's say you've got like that community system, right, where you have different people. What if some of them don't get their way and they leave the community and now they've got it out for you? And so they're going to hunt you down in some future mission because you didn't give them, you didn't side with them on the, you know, fight they had with their neighbor or whatever. Or what if, and like Baldur's Gate-esque, you've got companions, but they don't get along. and you've been keeping two people in your party too long that don't get along, and one of you decides, screw you guys, I'm done with this mission, I'm out. In fact, I'm now against what you're doing, and now they're a nemesis, and you come across them in the future part of the game. And so that adds more replayability and variety to our stories, right? Like, it's one thing to be like, well, who lived through Mass Effect 2? Who did you romance? How did you see the things that play out if this happens? But that totally opens up a completely different, like, field of options if they can completely flip to the other side and be against you. I mean, what if it's as simple as the Renegade Paragon system, and if you go too far in one of those directions, there's certain people that just will not work with you anymore. And so, because they are hard Renegade or hard Paragon in the other way, and then that turns into like a nemesis system, and then they start trying to thwart whatever you're doing. When they started out as your friend, but by the end of the game, they're one of your main enemies, and you got to deal with them later in the game.
Yeah, that'd be wild to have to kill one of your squad mates.
Yeah,
or former squad mates,
or somebody that you romance, and then later on you have to make a decision, and it doesn't work out. And not only did it not work out, like, they are now against you, and they're going to do everything.
Maybe you reject them.
Maybe you reject them. It breaks their heart. they're going to take off your head. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Any other thoughts on this, you guys? I've done a lot of talking on this one. What about the Magister? What do you think?
I love the idea. I think it's already, we've already had a seed planted from it from Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2 really did this a lot with like Jack and Miranda, Legion and Tally, like having those moments where like you have to choose a side, or if you're Renegade or Paragon enough, skipping past those, but definitely having one of those moments. Like, I can imagine like you siding against a Krogan Battlemaster, and the fact that they have such like regenerative capabilities. You think you killed them on the planet, but later he's like missing an eye, but he's right there raring to go again,
and he's even more pissed off, and he's brought extra buddies with him to take you down or whatever.
I think that would be such. I can already see the getting into each other's faces, and then like, I'm sorry, you have to leave, and then he comes back later like, remember me?
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally. I think I'm hyped. My headcanon is now that this is in the next Mass Effect game, and it's going to be amazing. And then I'm going to be very disappointed when it's not.
You and half the other Twitter fan base, Mass Effect fan base, can be completely disappointed no matter what happens.
Is this a thing that people do where they just make up expectations and then they're just really pissed off when the expectations don't?
Yes.
Oh, is that a thing? Is that the thing that the internet does? Oh, I guess it is.
I'm not going to go too much into it, but yeah, especially I think people who watch enough of the theory videos, because then they've watched it for so long and they understand intellectually that it's a theory, but maybe emotionally they get attached to it and then it doesn't happen. And then,
I mean, we do a lore cast. I do multiple lore casts, and that is absolutely a thing where people are like, they'll get upset with you for like presenting information that goes against their headcanon because they've just believed something for so long on their own. They don't even remember why they believe it. And they're like, well, that's not right. And it's like, well, I pulled up the evidence. Don't get mad at me. Like, here you go. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it. These are our ideas, and hopefully they all make it into the next Mass Effect game, or at least the ones that make sense. We got to wrap this up. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for being here, patrons and chat. And let's go back through everybody, and feel free to shout out anything else you've got going on, or just say, hey, thanks for being here and all that stuff. Jen, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I have two shows that are part of the Robots Radio Network, Two Girls, One Ship, that talks all about video game romances, and the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we talk everything cyberpunk.
Nice. Short and sweet. Yeah, go check out Jen's stuff. Thanks for being here. Scott, what do you got going on?
Just getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us. Magister?
I got nothing right now, but I am working on a few projects that I think might come up something in the next couple of months. But feel free to contact me, Magister DeVita, on the Patreon as well as the Discord. Want to talk about different things? It's cool to go. My current obsession is cyberpunk. So feel free to, if you want to have any conversations about that, definitely your guy.
Very cool, man. Thanks for joining us again. And then Turbo, wrapping it up.
I have nothing going on, like always.
But you're here, and that's what counts.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us. Sam, you got anything going on you want to share?
Yeah, I'm streaming the end of Mass Effect 1 tomorrow, so it'll be before, I guess, this publishes. So if you're watching the live stream, but I am streaming the end of Mass Effect 1 and then going to go into Mass Effect 2 with my quote-unquote personal canon playthrough, since we were just talking about headcanons. Mm-hmm. That one I am replicating all of what I originally chose, or at least as best as I can remember. And I also have the episode of the Avengers audio drama is now up. So if you look that up, you should find it. No problem. I think it's up on YouTube, right? And Genesis also played one of the voices. So.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Yeah, go check that out. I'm doing a charity thing this weekend. Lotus, my co-host on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, and some of his community, his co-host on Tales of Tamriel, Arcanir, he and Arc have been, I guess he's now 10, 11 years into this, doing a charity stream, like where he stays up 24 hours and then passes off the stream over the weekend in order to raise money. We're raising money for the Boston Children's Hospital, I believe. And I will be, he's starting it off this weekend. Most of you will miss this because this will go up after that, but I will be streaming on Sunday and playing some games and things. So if you'd like to donate to that, the link is actually currently in the chat because I preset it up for this weekend. But we would appreciate that. And of course, if you are interested in any other shows or whatever, robotsradio.net. That's the place to go. And you can check out all sorts of cool stuff. Thank you for being here, everybody. We'll see you next week with another regular episode. And until then, I don't know, keep on coming up with crazy fun ideas for things that you want in future video games and then sending them out into the world and seeing if they actually become a thing, because you never know who's listening. So fingers crossed. All right. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.